Welcome to Steppin' Out, the 12-step meeting on the air. Tonight you'll meet real people with true stories of addiction and recovery. And now, Steppin' Out.
Hello and welcome to America's 12-step radio show. My name is Drew and this is Steppin' Out. And our guests are Gamblers Anonymous, are here to share their experience, strength, and hope with us. Up next, we have our friend Gary. Gary, how you doing?
Doing great. My name's Gary. I'm a compulsive gambler.
Hello, Gary.
I will start my program on my talk about. I started gambling when I was 13 years old.
Sure.
Just doing like a $5 bet with a good friend of mine that his father owned a bar down in the local town. And I lost that bet. And the second bet I won, and the next one I won. And I was 13 years old, working for this one company, making $45 at a time a week. And 3 weeks or 4 weeks later, I lost $50 and had to turn over my whole paycheck over to the bookmaker on it.
Ouch.
The following week, I lost $100.
Ouch.
And didn't have the money from my pay. And I had to ask my friend's father to borrow the money from him so I could pay the bookmaker.
So you lost a week's pay followed by 2 weeks' pay?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I had to pay the father back over, I think I paid him back about a month and
a half.
What were
you betting on?
Football.
Football.
All sports.
All
I was
sports.
Strictly a sports bettor. I got into casinos a little bit, but all my life it's been sports on it. Eventually that turned over where I was betting directly to the book instead of through the father all the time. And I was betting $10, $15 a game and winning and losing between $50 and $150. When I was 15, I lost $250 to the bookmaker, and I was so scared that the bookmaker, you're 15 years old, I was really scared. You hear the stories, I'm going to get my legs broken and mm-hmm. get beaten up. And I really was paranoid that I was going to get very physically hurt. And I had to go to the bookmaker shivering, 15 years old, at this local corner bar where the bookmaker was, and tell them, I can't pay you back the $250. And he threatened. And he says, you know, you got to go to your father and get the money, or go to your mom and work out getting payment done. And he gave me a week to come up with the money. And I went and I borrowed the money from friends. And
did you tell him why?
No, I did not.
What was the
I just told him I wanted to buy some clothes and get some stuff. I lied the whole time.
Okay.
But I paid him back. And I remember that very distinctly, losing that amount of money and that fear of going to the bookmaker. When I became 18, I was switched over from like just gambling all the time to be a compulsive gambler. But meanwhile, I was doing a lot of drugs and a lot of drinking. I had a drinking problem. My father was an alcoholic, still is, and I was drinking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get the numb over it, because the gambling was still my love, but I was drunk. Incredible amount of money, drink. I was drinking vodka out of quarts at a time. But I was gambling and very heavily. I went down the shore one time with a friend down to Asbury Park, and we were there over the weekend, got drunk the night before, and I remember waking up in the morning, laying on the beach, and calling the bookmaker for the football bets on it. And I bet like 5 games at the time. And during that time, I didn't even remember what games I was betting. I just called up the book because I was drunk the night before, called up the book and said, read down the lines to me. And I picked out 5 games, not even knowing the points on it. I just picked 5 games on it. I won all 5. And it was that moment that I remember switching over from just gambling what I thought was normal to becoming a compulsive gambler.
Okay. Well, just because it was just give me anything?
Give me anything.
Give me anything.
I don't care what.
Whatever it is, just give it to me.
Just read down the lines,
okay.
Read down the games, and let me do it. All right. I realized at that time I wanted to do boards betting, which means taking the entire board. If it's football games and there's 16 bets of 16 teams playing that week on that Sunday, I would bet all 16 games.
Okay.
All right. And at the time, at 18, I was most likely betting like $50, $100 at the time.
A week.
A bet.
So times 16?
There you go.
Okay. Where are we getting this money?
I had a little business on the side that I could work and make extra money on it, and I was making a pretty good money for it for 18.
Okay.
So this is 1974.
Yeah, it's a lot of money in 1974.
I've always bet over my head.
Okay.
And never really even paid attention to it. I just bet. You know, I just had to bet on it. Like Sam was mentioning before, I just wanted to bet. That's it. So I became compulsive. I was betting just the football. And football wasn't enough, though. After the season, I usually was good in the beginning. But towards the end, I just lost. Especially when at the end of the season, when it got into the playoffs, I never could win a playoff game on it. And when Super Bowl came along, I was betting so heavy on Super Bowl, I used to get sick. My nights of or the days of Super Bowl, I would get all psyched, look at the lines, and start betting. Because I was betting the ball, and there was only one game, Super Bowl, I was betting the under and over, who was the first kick on the game, who would be the first receivers on it, the amount of
points. You bet the coin toss? And
I never bet the coin toss.
I heard about guys doing that. I was like...
I thought that was ridiculous.
I heard
to
about
do
people
that.
Betting the Bud Bowl.
Absolutely.
I've heard people betting the Bud Bowl.
Yeah, no, I did.
Yeah, you bet the Bud Bowl?
Absolutely.
How come Bud Light never wins?
Yeah, never wins.
Never wins.
No. I think I did that like for 3 years.
Yeah.
But I had to bet at least, because I was so used to betting at least 16 games, plus maybe totals and parlays and round robins on the games. I had to bet like 5 or 6 bets on the Super Bowl. All right. And at that time, I had 2 or 3 bookies. All right. So I would just play all of them. And the 5 bets that I could possibly bet on the Super Bowl, I would bet 5 times 3. All right. So I would bet like 15 games. So it felt kind of normal to me for the average that I was betting.
Right.
And when football season was over and I would lose, I finally got into playing like basketball, hockey, and baseball, and I was still a board better. So in basketball, on weekly days, you would have 32 games, and if the college was on, you would bet college. So I was doing college and pro basketball and still betting the board, and this was probably about...
Wait, betting the board on college? How many games are going on a...
There were some times that I remember betting 40 games on a Saturday.
40 games at $50 a pop.
It actually got progressively worse. In gambling, when I started, it was only $5 and just kept getting progressively more and more and more. At 24, I know I was betting $500 to $1,000 a game. So if I was doing 40 games on it, I was doing 40 times 5 or 40 times 1,000 and sometimes round robin.
Ouch.
So I was up there to $50,000-$60,000 on the day betting on it. But what problem was, I was doing that every single day. All right, it was just progressive and not getting enough of it. And bookmakers, I would either make or break bookmakers sometimes. I broke several bookmakers over in Jersey that was like local bookies.
What do you mean broke them?
They couldn't pay me.
Oh, literally.
Literally.
Bank. Okay, I got you.
All right. They were like guys that would turn in their bets or my bets into their bookmakers, and eventually they just lost out and they couldn't pay it. So I broke a couple of them. But eventually all the bookmakers feed into 1 or 2 major books in the city on it, and they hooked me up with those 2 major bookmakers on it. Because I was betting a huge amount of money at each day. 40,000 was probably the normal on it. And I won. I was a good bet. I was smart in the beginning. And both my bookmakers would say, you know, you're good in the beginning, but you start losing towards the end of the season. Stop. You're ahead. You know, move away. But I just couldn't stop. And I had to bet more and more all the time. And the one time I won a great deal of money, I remember I had to drive out on Route 3, and a guy came in with a shopping bag full of money, and it was the largest I'd ever won. It was close to $130,000 that I had won. And I went home, and I counted that money the entire night. I stayed up the entire night counting it over and over and over, and making piles of 1,000, piles of 5,000, piles of 10,000, and within a week, that money was back to the bookmaker's hands.
Wow.
I went from my $500,000 to betting $5,000, $10,000 on the game.
So you never really even enjoyed it?
I never did. Okay. Wow. Never at all did I ever enjoy that money. We talk about the dream world in our program, and that's all I ever had was dream worlds of like owning big houses and the penthouses and, you know, having a house down the shore, a house up in the country, and maybe overseas. And never stayed in my pocket long enough. All right. I went through so many different kinds of theories and schemes on it. Like I used to win very big on one week and then lose the next week. So I thought maybe if I stopped that following week and just held off, I would win and win 2 weeks in a row, finally. But even when I start up the second week, I would lose on that. It just was a compulsive cycle that went on.
So what happened next?
Well, you just fantasize about having all these different homes and down in the Caribbean or up in the country or on the beach, and just never panned out because I never was able to hang on to the money long enough. Mm-hmm. It kept always rolling on it. The Super Bowl was always my focus. It was like college football on New Year's Day. You just had to bet everything, and Super Bowl was the same thing.
And here we are on the eve of Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and you know, you're helping people.
Yeah, getting the word out.
Yeah,
attraction, not promotion, onto it. There was times I would bet on the Super Bowl. The boards where they have the squares on it.
What do you mean the squares?
Well, it's
the boxes.
It's all the boxes that you would bet on. You'd have a boxes numbered from 0 to 9, going across and down.
Okay.
And you would draw straws.
Oh, yeah, like a bar box.
The bar box.
I know what you mean. Okay.
Typical on it.
Right.
All right. I would go to different bars because my bookmakers would be in bars. That's where you would meet them. And there was one time I had two $5,000 boxes.
Wow.
That was in there. They would have a huge party there just for the Super Bowl with card games going on at the same time and betting everything. I mean, there was guys there that would bet each play, you know, what would go on or how long it would take to get a touchdown or would they go for another 10 yards, you know, quick $50, $100 on it. It was just constant and always betting on it. The Super Bowl, Dallas Cowboys was my favorite team, and I would dump a fortune on them. I literally would dump on Super Bowl day somewhere between $25,000 to $50,000 on all the different mixtures of the bets on it.
Wow,
I would have to be in my own room. I couldn't be at parties because people would be betting against me or they would be on the opposite team. And I would get so physically upset about it and start cursing them out and yelling. And I wasn't drinking at the time because my drinking and my drugs were totally burnt out by my gambling addiction. And I just had to be by myself. And it became closeted at that time. Not even my close friends or family members knew how much I was betting. They knew I had that I gambled and I gambled regularly, but they didn't know the amount of money that I was blowing on each game or that I had the whole board on it. I guess if they sat back and figured it out, because I would talk about, oh, I lost that game or maybe that game, but it was just total closet effect. I had five relationships in my life so far. I'm 48 years old, and I didn't even could have a relationship because gambling was so much part of my everyday, and I was betting the board so much that I had a computer with a program set up that I had four bookies at the time, and to keep track of that amount of bets, the 40 bets or the 60 bets and the four different books that I was betting with, it took me 2 to 3 hours to figure out if I won or lost for that day or that night. And then when I got up in the morning, I would have to think about, like, who I want to bet for and think, well, you know, I've been on a bad streak for the last week on it, so maybe I'll flip the bet.
There's no way you could actually try. I mean, the amount of stuff you had out there is just insane. I mean, like, there was no way you could actually keep this in your mind and enjoy the bets or even have fun with what's going on. You're just it's just action for the sake of action.
That's it. I wasn't even watching the games at the time. All right. And,
unbelievable.
And my friends and that I would drive to go out with, you know, at 5:30, 6 o'clock, everything would have to stop. And I would have to make my phone bets on it. And being I have three or four books at the time embedding the board, my phone calls were like a half an hour, 40 minutes long. And I describe the betting feeling on it kind of like a drug and doing heroin or dope on it using a needle, that getting to that point of making that phone call to the bookmaker was like, we're looking for the drug and getting high on the drug and finally getting through to the book was getting the needle prepped and sticking it into my arm. And when I hung up after placing the bet with the bookmakers and put down the phone, that was the drug released into my veins.
So how much, I mean, it sounds like it's pretty bad at this point. I mean, where does it go? I mean, how much worse could it be? I mean,
the crazy part about it, Drew, is I didn't even know I had a problem.
You had no idea?
Not a clue. And I was borrowing lots of money at from a business I was with. I was borrowing $10,000, $20,000 at a week to help pay the bets off.
Did they know?
They knew, and they even said, you know, you got a gambling problem, you know, you should seek help on. And I said, no, I don't. And I continued to gamble for probably a decade after that.
Wow.
Until I got to a friend's, my friend loaned me a lot of money one time, and he said, go to program, otherwise I'm not giving you the money. And
program being GA.
Going to Gamblers Anonymous, and I went to Gamblers Anonymous, and he gave me $75,000 to pay off a book, because like Sam had mentioned, I had to get into a luxury apartment that had a camera in the lobby so I could see who would be ringing the bell.
Wow.
And one time a bookmaker came into the lobby on it. I went down to argue with the bookmaker because he wasn't leaving. And my friend was watching it on the camera and totally freaked out about this bookmaker because he was getting all upset. And to me, I wasn't even bothering. I didn't think, and I was so calloused at the time and so used to it.
Day in the life.
It was a normal day in the life.
Yeah.
That he loaned me $75,000 if I went to Gamblers Anonymous. So I went to Gamblers Anonymous and thought about, this isn't going to work for me. It really doesn't. And I stayed for 2 weeks, and I continued to go for like 6 months after that. But after 2 weeks, before I would go to Gamblers Anonymous, I would go to the corner and make the bets to the bookmaker.
So wait, let me get this straight. You go into meetings and you're making bets at the same time.
Absolutely.
So what's the point? You just go in there to appease your friend?
That's all I was doing at the time. All right.
And you heard nothing in there that sounded remotely close to something you could identify with?
Not at all.
Really?
Because I had gambled compulsively at that time for 28 years. All right. And my normal day of life was gambling. So what their stories are talking about was their problems and not my normal day of life. But what I had done, unfortunately, was got my friend's Social Security number, and I took out a credit card in his name with me being a sub-account underneath it.
Oh.
All right. I was trying to play the shell game, paying off one account with the other account and trying to keep track of it, and I dropped one of the accounts, and the credit card company called them looking for the money that I didn't pay under his name. Mm. All right. And I denied it. He looked me straight in the eye and says, did you open up this account? After he knew it, I was caught, and I denied it. That face that he had on him was what crashed me.
Wow.
Right? I emotionally shocked and shut down. I went into a fetal position. I was suicidal at the time. I went to a therapist. I called up another GA member, a Gamblers Anonymous member that I had met through the first go-around, and he picked me up and took me to a room. And that's the start of my recovery on it. I don't even remember the last date of my bet. I used my surrender date. I went to a therapist at the time and sat in his office and completely surrendered my heart, my soul, my body, because I couldn't take care of it. I was totally shut down. I use a description that I felt like a grain of sand buried a foot deep in cement, never to see light again.
Wow.
And I was depressed for over a year and a half. So it wasn't about the money at the time, although I did owe my my friend $75,000.
Aside from the $75,000, what did you have out there at the time?
In the bookmakers? I was lucky at the time when I came in. I was square even with the bookmakers.
You were,
at
okay.
the time. All right. But it was the emotional thing that brought me down to my defeat on it. I was depressed for a year and a half. My therapist knew I was suicidal. Even I didn't even know it, and they put me in a rehab, and insurance did not recognize, and still to this date does not recognize gambling as an addiction. If I was an alcoholic or a druggie, I would be able to stay there for the full 28 days. My counselors at the time kept me there for 10 days until insurance finally kicked me out. And my counselor says, well, you're supposed to be here for the next 28 days, make 28 meetings for the next 28 days. I followed up and made 90 meetings for the next 90 days on it. And that was the beginning of my recovery on it.
Well, what's it like for you now?
It's a whole different world right now. Everything that I thought I could get in that dream world I talked about before, the nice houses, now I have everything that I want. I can literally do anything in my life that I want to do. If I want to go away on a vacation or buy a house or get a new car, I have, because of my Gamblers Anonymous recovery program in it. My mind that took a year and a half of depression and gambling stole from me, I now have a solid mind back in my recovery with it.
Let me ask you this question. Here we are on the eve of the Super Bowl. What do you want to say to the guy that's out there tonight thinking about the big bet, the big score?
I guess the message would be, I've been there and done it.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the Super Bowl and bet every single way possible on it, and I compulsively bet for 28 years. It doesn't work. It progressively gets better. Your life gets worse. It gets down to the tubes. You don't win. You may win for the one game on it, but your life gets lost on it, and it steals the time.
Gary, thank you so much. This is America's 12-Step Radio Show. This is Steppin' Out.